See, Suta Goswami said, the personality of Kali, thus being ordered by Maharaj Parikshit, began to tremble in fear, seeing the king before him like Yamaraj, ready to kill him. Kali spoke to the king as follows. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The king was ready to kill the personality of Kali at once, as soon as he disobeyed his order. Otherwise, the king had no objection to allowing him to prolong his life. The personality of Kali also, after attempting to get rid of the punishment in various ways, decided that he must surrender unto him, and thus he began to tremble in fear of his life. The king or the executive head must be so strong as to stand before the personality of Kali like the personality of death, Yamaraj. The king's order must be obeyed, otherwise the culprit's head is in risk. That is the way to rule the personality of Kali, who created disturbance in the normal life of the state citizens. Narayan namaskritam naram naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayat mudirayat nasta presu badresu nityam bhagavati sevayam bhagavati uttama sloke bhakti bhavati nashtaki. So we see how here is speaking about the king, how he rules the citizens, and how he doesn't allow Kali to flourish. He banishes Kali. So as devotees, we are coming in line of kings. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken 40 million years back to the sun god, then 5,000 years spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna. Then the same teachings are coming even up to now. So in that sense, we are coming in line of kings. So as devotees, it's our duty to help others on the spiritual path. By discussing scriptures and association, following the process, we can also help others become spiritually strong. So it says generally the kings are more of passion. They're like kshatriyas. So without guidance of brahmanas, kshatriyas can cause a lot of disturbance. And we see that's what happened in after Maharaj Parikshit was gone in time, because the Brahmins were disrespected. Kali entered and caused a lot of disturbance. Even it happened like when because there were no brahmanas to guide people in time, when Buddhism was spread throughout India, all the kshatriyas, they became to the teachings of Buddhism, and they didn't maintain the rule of being Kshatriyas to protect the citizens properly. And due to that, the foreign invasions took over India. So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to establish Brahmanas first to guide society. And example is given, just like the body, the head, the arms, the belly and the legs. So if other parts of the body are affected, the body will still live. But if the head is taken off, the body will die. So so the other reason why the Brahmanas were had potency behind them, because they followed the line of the teachings of the Acharyas. So that's another, they respected that line of teaching. It wasn't based on birth, it was based on qualification. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chatu Vanya Maya Shishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha Akhatam Avayam, that I have created this system based on qualification, not on birth. He says Janma, not, he says Chatu Vanya Guna, he says Guna, not Janma, so qualification. So So Bhishma Dev, he gives certain points in the first canto. He gives 9 points on how the modern society can be balanced properly. He's speaking on a vanashram. So the first point is not to become angry. And second is not to lie. Third is to equally distribute wealth. Fourth is to forgive. Five is to beget children only by one's legitimate wife. Six is to be pure in mind and hygienic in body. Seven, not to be inimical towards anyone. Eight, to be simple. Nine, to support servants or subordinates. By following these principles, one can come to the mode of goodness. And from the mode of goodness, one can take to Krishna consciousness. So, Prabhupada, he also said, this is the challenge in Krishna consciousness, is to come to mode of goodness. So Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is an easy process. It's chanting, dancing and feasting. But then this one person was pressing Prabhupada that, is there anything more than this? Is there anything more to take to Krishna consciousness? So Prabhupada, he said, okay, to come to the mode of goodness is a challenge. It's a challenge. If you can come to mode of goodness, then Krishna consciousness becomes easy. So the quality of the mode of goodness is austerity, mercy, cleanliness, simplicity, maybe so all these qualities, maybe someone can recite them if they got them, but all these qualities in 1842 Bhagavad Gita is given, mode of goodness qualities. So if you have these qualities, then everything becomes then the mercy becomes easy accessible. To come to Krishna consciousness becomes easy accessible. The other thing is getting the mercy of advanced devotees. So Prabhupada stressed how for the beginners it's important to be around devotees who are practicing. In this way, the protection will be there. Because it's not with our own endeavor we can make spiritual advancement. It's by the mercy of advanced devotees. In the nectar of devotion, it's mentioned mercy comes in three ways. It's glance, instruction and blessing. So, just like the spiritual master, he gives instruction, or he may give a glance, or he may give instruction like that. Or even an advanced devotee can do like that. There was an instance with Srila Prabhupada one time. This person, he had this... he became a devotee afterwards, but he had this ability to control people's minds. So he used to go behind people and control people's minds. So he tried it on Prabhupada. So he's going behind Prabhupada, walking behind Prabhupada. He was bewildered. He couldn't work it out why Prabhupada wasn't looking at him. At some point, Prabhupada looked him straight in the eye. And that person became very humbled after that. And then he became initiated by Prabhupada after that. Understanding, because he says, the mercy comes through a glance of a devotee. If that devotee glances at someone, the mercy... He says this is why just being in the mode of goodness is not everything. Because says even demigods in the mode of goodness, great sages in the mode of goodness, but they get attached to their austerity, you know, austerity and like that. So they can't come out of that. Getting the mercy like this, devotee got the mercy of Prabhupada. He was testing Prabhupada's purity and Prabhupada showed him. Then he became a devotee after that. You can see, he could understand Prabhupada got much more purity than I got. So he surrendered to that. So we can see how if we follow the line of purity, then purity, say, example is given, if you follow dharma, dharma protects you. So in the same way, if you striving to follow line of purity, then Krishna acknowledges that and he gives mercy. So we can see where, like Maharaj Parikshit, he had the line of purity behind him. So when he was there, he challenged Kali. Kali couldn't disguise himself in front of Maharaj Parikshit. He revealed his true nature and he started trembling. So in the same way, we see how there was a story read in the book called Holy Prison by Chandramouli Swami. He gives a story how there was one lady, she got put in prison, and then Maharaj started cultivating her. And became a devotee. And then I think at that time Maharaj wasn't an initiating spiritual master, but he directed her to someone that to give her shelter. And she was meant to be in prison for a long time, but then uh, that spiritual master came to her and told her that initially she had a word with the person in charge of prison, the governor, that, look, I'm following all these principles now and I'm different, living a whole different life. I'm not doing anything bad and maybe I should come out of prison now. She tried it, but didn't work. But then the spiritual master came. And when he told her, then the governor just ripped her off and he came out of prison. So that shows you the potency of mercy. That the mercy factor was there, and then Krishna guided the governor to sign her off. Then she came out of prison. So we can see in the same way how if we surrender to Krishna, then our karma is minimized to a large extent, and there was an instance even Gaudama Bihai, he had some, they do prison preaching, and he was preaching to someone in the prison. And this person was in a heavy confinement. But then he started reading Prabhupada's books. And then he changed his lifestyle. They took him out of heavy confinement and put him in a better prison cell. So see how Krishna minimizes the karma of the individual. So the human life, we have the opportunity to understand and turn to Krishna. The human life is achieved after 8,400,000 species. The civilized human life is very rare compared to the other species. So in the human life, we can actually, if we are serious, we can go back to Godhead very quickly. So, the whole understanding behind why we have to serve those who are The material world is full of lust. Everyone wants to be the center. In the spiritual world, Krishna is the center. So that's the difference. Krishna's in the material world, everyone wants to be the center. In the spiritual, Krishna's center. So, to approach Krishna directly is not so easy. He says, Manushya naam sahaseshu kashi jada siddhaya yatita api siddham kashi vati tatvataha. That Prabhupada said in the lecture, in the verses, out of many thousands who are on this path, only one achieves perfection. Or Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, out of many millions. So that shows the rarity of achieving perfection in Kali Yuga. So, there's an interesting quote which is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. It says, just as a person with rose-colored glasses sees the entire world as rose-colored, a conditioned soul with mundane vision sees even God himself as mundane and thus loses the opportunity to go back to Godhead. So, because the modern day education is based on researching things with your own intellect, not surrendering to, even they have to surrender to authority, but because they follow imperfect people with four defects, tendency to cheat, make mistakes, be illusioned, imperfect senses, they get cheated. So the material world is a place of cheaters and cheated. But on the whole, we can see how the purpose of the material world is there for people to go back to Godhead. Because there's always those who want to get out of the material world. So that's why Kali is there for that reason, to actually make people get out of the material world. It says the blessing of Kali Yuga is, although it says that prayana asa sabja Kali Yuga janma manda sumandiya manna bhagya upadita. In the age of Kali, people are short-lived, unlucky, unfortunate, misguided, memory is short. But there is a blessing in Kali Yuga, that in Kali Yuga we can get the blessings of advanced devotees. Because in Kali Yuga you can go back to Godhead very quickly. And by taking to this chanting of Hare Krishna and the mercy, association of advanced devotees. In other ages, people get an opportunity to go to higher planets, demigods come to the earth, more opulence manifest. But in Kali Yuga, everything is taken away. And people's pride is cut off. Pride is really, you're on your knees actually in Kali Yuga. In other ages you can't be, you got some pride is there because of this opportunity to go to higher planets and opulence, wealth, more lifespan, longer lifespan is there. You have the but he says that even in the heavenly planets, opulence is so much that people can't focus on going back to Godhead. Distraction is very so much distraction there. So that's why there's a saying, I think so even this particular Kali Yuga is a special Kali Yuga because Lord Chaitanya came. And he's known as Prema Avatar. He's giving Krishna Prem. And so he says demigods are queuing up to take birth in Kali Yuga to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So it's but then there's the other side also. They say the golden age, when the golden age manifests, they say after Prabhupada's appearance, the golden age will manifest more and more over time. But the golden age is only for those who take to it. It's not for people who don't take to it. They lose out. At the same time, Kali Yuga continues on. Now, in 11th canto Bhagavatam, is explained that Kali Yuga is there for a reason, is to for a particular class of people who wanted to be a part of that age. And we can see, although so many bad things are there in Kali Yuga, Krishna is so merciful that he's minimized the austerities for this age. For example, like in other ages, if you think something bad, you get the karma immediately. But in this age, you only get the karma when you do the action. So you can see like this how Krishna's notion of mercy, that he's very eager for us to go back to him. And he's given the easiest process. As Lord Chaitanya has come, he's given the easiest path. So there's as devotees, we should be strong in our approach to help others in their Krishna consciousness. But we should only help those who want to be helped. Example is given, like in the army, you help those who are less injured. Those who are too much injured, you can't help them sometimes. So first we have to become strong ourselves, then we can help others. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions five kinds of envy from Jiva Dharma. He explains. First is skepticism, not having faith in God. Second is to believe that the Supreme Lord is nothing more than a natural potency of the creation, which automatically brings about the result of one's karma. Third, not believing in the transcendental form of the Lord. Fourth, not accepting the position of the jiva as the eternal servant of the Lord. And five, the absence of mercy. So we can see, if we can master these five, understand these five, Jai Shishi Radha Gokulanda Ki Jai. If we can just make it our goal in life to follow these five and try and overcome these five, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, five principles, then our perfection is easy, guaranteed. So Srila Prabhupada, he gives it in a different way. He says in a different way. But he says how there are four classes of men: lazy intelligent, busy intelligent, lazy fool, busy fool. First class is lazy intelligent. Busy fool is very dangerous. Lazy intelligent, this is from 1974 in Hawaii. So, lazy fool means that he's introspective. He doesn't, like the busy fool, he's too much passion, create disturbance. So, it's So in spiritual life, the secret is simple living, high thinking. Prabhupada is simple living, high thinking. And we can see how in previous ages, even in recent times, like Chanaka Pandit, he ruled the world, ruled all of India because he was living in a thatched hut. He never lived in opulent buildings. Even Srila Prabhupada, when they started the Mayapur project, he was living in a thatched hut in Mayapur. They have the Hare Krishna Kirtan going 24 hours. And they came to ask Prabhupada that, we want to build something for you. And Prabhupada said, I don't need anything. I'm happy to be in this hut. So then they had to go back and ask Prabhupada in a different way. They said, it's not for you, Prabhupada, we're building it. We want to build it for the future when people see the importance of Mayapur project. So then Prabhupada agreed. For himself, Prabhupada was very simple. So if we are very simple in our practices of Krishna consciousness, then we'll find how spiritual life will be easy. There's a saying, simple for the simple, complicated for the crooked. So we have to be simple. And we follow the teachings. And we have nice dealings with devotees. There's three things. But the path back to Godhead is Namaruchi, Jivadoya and Vaishnava Seva. So you do these three things and your path becomes clear to go back to Godhead. Kali is only there for those who are less intelligent. Like it's given in the first canto somewhere about Maharaj Yudhishthir renouncing his throne for Maharaj Parikshit to take over. Maharaj Parikshit saw sudden, Maharaj Yudhishthir saw sudden qualities coming in, how Kali was manifested. But Kali is only for those who have no knowledge of scripture and they don't take to the teachings of the acharyas. For those who follow these teachings, Kali cannot have any influence. Because the devotees, they have faith that by chanting the holy name, by reading the scriptures, following the acharyas' teachings, they're not living in the material world. They're training themselves to go back to the spiritual world. So they have nothing to do with the material world. For those who are doing that, the duality of the material world will not disturb them. He says there are four kinds of existence. Prabhupada explains this. He says, first is someone in the brothel, mode of ignorance. Someone living in the city, mode of passion. Someone in the forest, mode of goodness. And in a temple, Vaikuntha. When Prabhupada says about the forest, for us he means Vrindavan or Mayapur. In previous times, kings used to go to the forest to renounce the kingdom and go and do austerities. But now that's not possible. But we have Mayapur Vrindavan. Actually, it says that out of all the holy places, Mayapur is the highest. He says even in other yugas the holy places were there, like in Dwapara Yuga Kurukshetra was there. But he says Mayapur is the highest holy place because he says every step you take in Mayapur is like doing an Ashwamedh Yajna. And even sleeping you're paying obeisances to the deity. So we can see how Krishna is very merciful like this to reclaim the fallen souls. He wants us back with him. So he came as Lord Chaitanya and then he sent his associates like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakrishna Babaji Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, they all came to teach us the line of Lord Chaitanya's way of teachings. And they made it easy accessible to us. So we just have to take to this line of teachings, then even living this life, we are not part of the material world. Although the misery of the world is there, the body is there, but we don't get affected too much. If we are living those teachings, we will not get affected. So, any comments or questions? Okay.
Thank you for the class, Srinivasa Prabhu. You mentioned that we don't get karma from our thoughts in the age of Kali, but they got karma in the earlier ages just from thinking offensively. So my question is, I mean, I've read somewhere, I can't quote it, but even if we commit offenses to devotees in our mind, we get the reaction from it. If anyone can quote that, that'd be wonderful. But I was wondering what your thoughts are on this, bro.
Well, we have to pay obeisances within the mind also if offenses do come to that devotee. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that you should try and see 10 good qualities in a devotee. Try and see 10 good qualities in a devotee. Or at least one good quality. And then the offensive mentality will disappear.
Concerning the karma, however?
No, if you try and see the good qualities, because see, the thing is, if you try and see good in others, then the negativity goes away. That's how it works.
I had one more question. Is that okay? You said lazy fool and busy fool. Busy fool is in the mode of passion. Lazy intelligent is the best. But lazy fool, you said, has introspection. What did you mean by this?
Prabhupada, given the quote, is like, before he does something, he goes deep into thought. He doesn't just do it whimsically.
The lazy fool?
Yeah.
Or the lazy intelligent?
Yeah. The lazy fool is like someone who's introspective. He doesn't do things whimsically. He goes into meditation before he does something. He sees how Krishna is going to guide him first. No, Prabhupada says, he gives it differently here. He says, lazy intelligent, He says, lazy intelligent, busy intelligent, lazy fool, busy fool. First class is lazy intelligent. Busy fool is dangerous. I don't know what busy fool, lazy fool means. I mean,
a lazy fool is lazy in his nature, and he doesn't want any devotional service. He's a fool.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Amazing combination.
Very good.
Well, it's because I'm like that. I identify.
How do you bore? Any other questions?
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a very nice class. I just have one question. You said that we get mercy by pleasing devotees. But sometimes, can you get mercy by, like, annoying devotees? Like, for example, a child and their parents, normally sometimes children, annoy their parents to get, like, a little more of their love.
Well, my understanding is somehow that you have to bring Krishna within the picture, then the mercy will come in. Otherwise, it's difficult. If you're going to try and be the center, then you're disturbing others. You have to bring Krishna within the picture. It's like that Dr. Patel, he was having discussions with Prabhupada, right? Because he was into studying Bhagavad Gita. And he gave many arguments to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada answered all the arguments. But Prabhupada was eager to have him because the arguments he was giving was very good in terms of helping others become Krishna conscious.
So it's fine to annoy if you're bringing them closer to Krishna. Then you get, like, it's okay. Like sometimes you can annoy the devotees to bring them closer to Krishna.
No, the thing is, you have to put Krishna in the center. Everything balances from that.
Okay.
That's easy, you know.
Yeah.
We should not try to be the center.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're causing more harm to yourself and to others.
Hmm.
You see how Prabhupada did things. He put Krishna in the center. He never did anything for himself. Even guiding his disciples, he put guiding them to Krishna. So if we do like that, then everything balances out. Devotees are quite tolerant. They will not take offense. And outside, if you do something wrong to someone, they may do harm to you. But Krishna may take offense. So we have to be careful like that.
Thank you.
I think Mataji behind.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. We have a question. Here in this purport it said that the king was ready to kill the personality of Kali at once as soon as he disobeyed his order. So what does it refer to, that he disobeyed his order?
The king wasn't going to allow him to be in the kingdom. It's simple, you know. He wasn't going to be a good citizen. He's going to cause harm to others. So Prabhupada says in the purport that a king should not allow the Kali to be part of the state. He should banish him. Very simple. Kali cannot flourish. He'll cause harm to others. So Maharaj Pariksit gave him certain places to go. Then he told him, you can reside in gold, where the gold is holded. But Maharaj Pariksit would not allow Kali to be in the part of the kingdom. So even Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that those who disobey the Acharya's teachings in the line of parampara, they are Kali Chalas. Because they're making out they're part of the parampara, but they're misleading others. So even within our line, we don't allow people like that to come in. What to say about the state, you know? Even within our line, there's been many instances where someone's deviated and then been asked to leave the movement or something. Or Krishna moves them on in a different way.
And can it also refer to killing the cow, the way he disobeyed the order by killing the cow?
I can't.
Is it also, can it also refer to the fact that he killed the cow? Is it...
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Yeah, I mean, Maharaj Pariksit was he challenged him. He was going to kill him, but then when Kali surrendered, then he spared him. Because he could see that Kali does have a purpose to play in Krishna's plan. I think Ian had a question, right?
Hi Krishna, thank you for the class. Yeah, I had a small comment and a question when you were talking about how in the earlier yugas, they had a little bit more pride, you know, they could do things. And then in this yuga, we're basically on our knees. Prabhupada was giving a talk and just talking about how earlier days people were eating with silver spoons. Now we eat with plastic spoons and we think we're advanced, but we're really on our knees. So I was just remembering that. And the question I had was, so, you know, you were mentioning all these things and we hear these things regularly, you know, just following the process and how gradually, you know, we can get there, how we're fortunate that out of the many millions, we've somewhat tried to take to the path. And obviously it keeps on saying that one person keeps on moving. So why is it that, what's stopping us that we're here, we're taking to the process, but we're not getting to that level of surrender, we're still making offenses, we're still having this, what's that thing that we need to change so that that can like be eradicated?
Well, spiritual life is based on humility. It's simple. We have to learn the culture of being humble to seniors. There's four levels of seniority, right? Oh, I think there's the old people, there's the brahmanas, someone who's advanced, three levels of seniority. So you have to learn to respect the seniority. Then you can make advancement. Very simple. Like I read in Jeva Dharma, it's mentioned the point was given that if someone offends seniors like Vasudev, Krishna's father, then their anger can destroy you. So we have to respect seniors. Then with their blessings, everything will come. Then 8:35, shall I continue or stop? Any questions? Okay. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.